tonight, the last chapter of Daniel is very closely related to the preceding one that we saw last week, chapter 11. It concludes the angel's revelation of the things that are to come in the future, and also God's plan for the end of the world. We know that God has a plan to end all this. No doubt when the revelation was given to Daniel, he was concerned about the destiny of his people, the Jews. He was a Jewish man, and the Jews were his people. So now at the conclusion of this vision, the angel comforted Daniel by revealing two things, two facts, two prophecies. One is about the deliverance of Israel, so Israel will be delivered. And then something about the resurrection, something that nobody talked before in the Old Testament, the resurrections, plural. That's what we are going to see tonight. Now, those who make the preceding section, chapter 11, verses 36 to 45, a reference to Antiochus Epiphanes and not to the Antichrist, which it is. So those who make the section about Antiochus Epiphanes have a serious problem jumping from him to the resurrection and to the end times. So chapter 12, the last one, deals with the great tribulation of the last days. That's the last message of Daniel. Small chapter, has three parts. First, he's going to talk about the tribulation in verse 1. Then he's going to talk about the resurrections in verses 2 to 4. And then he's going to talk about the calculation of days, verses 5 to 13. So Daniel says, at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. So the chapter starts with the expression, at that time. What time is this? That's the time of the end that we have seen in chapter 11, verse 40. God has a seven-year period in which he is going to deal with the nation Israel and with the entire sinful world. There's going to be a seven-year great tribulation. And it is as if God's clock stopped, and it will start for the last time, a seven last year period. We have seen it earlier when we were in Daniel chapter 9, the last week of the 70 weeks, 70 weeks of years, so 490 years. So right now, the end time clock is stopped, but it will restart soon. That period of time is referred to as a great time of trouble, such as was never seen before, nor will never be seen again. Not only Daniel says that, Jesus himself in the New Testament said the same thing about a great tribulation period like we've never seen before. He talked about that in Matthew chapter 24. And Daniel will come back to it again tonight, and he will ask one final question about it in verse 6. So the people of Israel will be delivered by the intervention of Michael. He is the angelic prince who is Israel's defender. In the great tribulation, Satan will attempt to exterminate every descendant of Abraham. He hates the Jews. He's always been trying to get rid of them, and he will try one more time. This will be a time of unprecedented distress for Israel. Satan's attack against the people of the kingdom will be a part of his effort to try to prevent the return of Jesus Christ. He is opposed to it, and he's trying to do whatever he can to oppose it and the reign of Jesus Christ even. The Lord Jesus is going to reign on earth for 1,000 years, but praise the Lord, Satan will be in prison for 1,000 years. We won't be bothered by him for 1,000 years. Michael, the great prince, here verse 1, will have to intervene on behalf of God's people. This time of trouble will affect the whole world, not only Israel. So Michael is called the great prince here, but we know what he is. He is an archangel. As I mentioned before, it appears that there were three archangels in heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 hints that there are more than one archangel. There are speculation that there were three chief prince, one for each person of the Godhead. So Michael, his name means who is like God. Beautiful name. He was the prince to God the Father, and he was assigned over the warriors. Every time there is fighting and spiritual warfare, you see him. Then Gabriel, his name means man of God, another beautiful name. He was the prince to God the Holy Spirit, and he was over the messengers. And whenever you see a message to Mary, a message to Zacharias, a message to Joseph, it is always this guy, Gabriel, that's in the picture. And then the third one was Lucifer. Lucifer, his name means light bearer. And he was the prince to God the Son. And he was over the worshipers, three types of angels, warriors, messengers, worshipers. Lucifer was over the worshipers. These are the three main ministry of the archangels. There is a promise of deliverance to some Jews, but not to all the Jews. To whom is the promise made? We just read it in verse 1. Only to those whose names are written in the book. What book? The phone book? Not that book. Does God keep books? Yes, he does. He keeps books. He keeps books on each and every one of us. We see it in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, that books, plural, will be open for the final judgment, and the dead will be judged according to the things that are written in those books. So they are books of record. There is also another book mentioned in the book of Revelation in chapter 20. This one is called the Book of Life. In that book, no deeds are recorded. There is no record of who did what. Only names are in the Book of Life. The names of those that are not going to the lake of fire. This is the book referred to here. It is very important to be recorded in that book. And you may ask, how can a person be recorded or registered in that one book here? There's only one way, and that's being born again of the Spirit. That is the only way to have your name registered in the book. And those who are written in that book will not face the second death that I will mention later tonight. So that's verse 1. That's the first part, and that's the tribulation that is coming, a great time of tribulation. Then at verse 2, we have the second part, the resurrections. He goes on and says, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars, they will shine forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. So here the angel tells Daniel that the dead will awake. Verse 2. Never anyone before in the Old Testament has ever mentioned anything close to this. This is the first of very few Old Testament references to the resurrection of the body. Isaiah earlier mentioned briefly in chapter 26, verse 19, that dead bodies will arise. This is more than just a renewal of soul or spirit. This is a resurrection of the whole person, body and soul. Notice that the angel prophesied about the resurrection plurals. Very important. Just like there are two births and there are two deaths. A first one when you die, and the second death is when those who did not believe in God are going to the lake of fire after the judgment of God. So two births. You were born one time, you are born again, starting brand new with God. So two births, two deaths. So there will also be two resurrection. The angel seems to hint that the two resurrection happen on the same day, sending people to two different directions, some to everlasting life and others to everlasting shame and contempt, as you read here. We know now from the New Testament that the two resurrection do not take place on the same day. When the first one is over, then the second resurrection starts. They do not run simultaneously. Also, because the angel said, sleep in the dust of the earth, people have come up with the false doctrine of soul sleeping after death. There is no such thing as soul sleeping after death. The expression does not mean unconsciousness existence in death. It simply means that a dead body appears to be sleeping, but the inside part of that body is gone. It's gone somewhere else. Only two places to go. In the days of Daniel here, everyone who died went down to what they called Hades. They called it Sheol in their Hebrew language. The Greek is Hades. English, hell. They had to go down because it was in the center of the earth. They went there to wait for the day of judgment, after which they would go to everlasting life, and others would go to shame and everlasting contempt. So that was the belief of these people. That was the understanding of the resurrection in those days. The angel did not mention what Jesus was going to do after he died. What did Jesus do after he died? Jesus went down to that place, Hades, 3 days, 3 nights, and he made some changes there. We are told in the Bible that he set the captives free. The believers who had died believing in God, who could not enter heaven because we needed the death of Jesus on the cross to pay for the sins of mankind. So they would be captive there until Jesus went down and set them free, and he brought them up to heaven to everlasting life. Daniel did not know these things. He could not have known those things that did not happen until Jesus came on the scene 430 some years later. The angel did not mention what Jesus was going to do at all. We know from the New Testament in the book of Luke in chapter 16, we know that after death, people still have their consciousness. Consciousness is the soul. All the feeling, all the senses, vision, and these things continue. But they still go two directions. The unbelievers, they still go down to that place called Hades to wait for the resurrection of the dead and to go to the white throne judgment, after which they will be sent to the eternal lake of fire, which is the second death. That's in Revelation. So the major change only affected the believers. It did not affect the unbelievers. They no longer go to Hades. They no longer go to Abraham's bosom to wait for the resurrection of the living in order to enter everlasting life. When a believing person dies today, he or she immediately go to be with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 is clear. Absent from the body, they are present with the Lord. Now, some Christians are still confused when it comes to the resurrection. The two resurrections take place at different times, thousands of years apart. The first resurrection started when Jesus rose from the dead. We are told he was the first fruit. He was the first one to rise from the dead. From that moment, all those who died in the Lord, all those who died believing in the Lord, they now rise to go to be with the Lord. And they are part of what is called the first resurrection. That is clear in Revelation 20, verse 6. The time of the first resurrection is from the resurrection of Jesus. He was the first one in Matthew 27, verse 52, all the way to the last dead in the Great Tribulation. Believers, those believing in Christ. So, Jesus rose from the dead. He started the first resurrection. All those believing in him, dying, they go in the first resurrection. They go to be with him. That first resurrection will end when the end of the Great Tribulation. How do we know that the first resurrection really started with the resurrection of Jesus? God does not want us to guess or try to figure it out. He was clear. We are told in the Bible that when Jesus rose from the dead, on that day, that morning, something weird happened in town. The graves were open. Some dead people were seen walking on the street. That was a sign. God made sure that they would see some people coming up out of the cemetery, and they were walking as a sign. See, the first resurrection has started. That was the sign. The first resurrection takes place after the first death. When we die, we go in the resurrection. When a person dies, he or she goes to heaven to be with Jesus. When Jesus was on earth, he said that he was going to heaven to prepare a place for us. And he added, where I am, you shall also be. So it's pretty clear. Now the second resurrection is different. The second resurrection takes place before the second death. At the end of the millennium, it is also clearly explained in Revelation chapter 20. The second resurrection is when God calls all the dead small and great, and they rise for the judgment. They come up from Hades. God says from heaven, Hades, give up your dead. And they all come out. And also from the sea, God says, the sea, give up your dead. And they come to be judged at the white throne judgment of God. They stand before God. This is the second resurrection. When they all go up to be judged by God, that is the second resurrection, but it is not the resurrection of the living. It is the resurrection of the dead. The first one is the resurrection of the living. Those alive in Christ, they go to be with Christ for all eternity. Now, some commentators say that verse 2 here is not referring to a physical resurrection, but it is the resurrection of the national and moral revival of Israel. After God's ancient people are regathered together to the land, a remnant will respond to the gospel and they will enter the millennium. They are the ones, they say, who awake to everlasting life. The others who worship the Antichrist will be condemned to shame and to everlasting contempt. They will be buried among the Gentiles for centuries. Israel will be restored nationally, and then a believing remnant will experience a spiritual resurrection. It may sound good, but it is wrong. They are spiritualizing the text. And it is always dangerous to spiritualize the text because you can make it say what you want it to say. You have to let Scripture explain Scripture. Let the Bible explain itself. Verse 3 predicts that glory awaits those who are wise. The verse does not speak of salvation, but of glory. They were wise enough to make the right decision and decided to follow Jesus. Now they will be rewarded with glory. The glory will be in proportion to the work that was done in the power of the Holy Spirit for Christ's sake. Those who turn others to righteousness will receive even greater glory. It says it, shining like the stars forever and ever. This is an encouragement for us, believers, to evangelize, to talk about Jesus to others, so they may turn to righteousness as a result, and we will shine forever and ever for doing that. Daniel was told to seal the book in verse 4, but not seal it forever. It is to be sealed only until the time of the end. That's why this book is so fascinating to us. It is not a sealed book to us. It was sealed to those people in the days of Daniel, 2,450 years ago. We are the people of the end times. So we are the ones to read and understand this book. All the accumulated knowledge from Adam to 1960, over 6,000 years of knowledge, that was doubled in 10 years, from 1960 to 1970. Because it says here that knowledge shall increase. In the end times, the book is sealed until knowledge shall increase. Knowledge is increasing like crazy. 6,000 years was doubled in 10 years. Since 1970, the age of computer, the knowledge has increased at an incredible speed. What people know today is insane. They don't know it, they Google it, and they know. Now we are sending pictures through the air in color from one end of the world to the other end in seconds. So you talk about knowledge shall increase. So because knowledge in general will increase, knowledge of prophecy, knowledge of this book will also increase. So God predicted that an understanding of what Daniel had written here would come. And we are the people, we are the one understanding it. People today looking back at history like we do can see the significance of most of what Daniel predicted. All the prediction that he made those many thousand years ago, we have verified them like we did last week in chapter 11. We verified all those people who was in office and who married who, and we can go now and look. But hundreds of years ago, it was not that clear. Knowledge has indeed increased. It is scary how fast it is increasing. At this rate, I wonder how it will be in 100 years. If the Lord allows this world to go on that long, I don't think we have 100 years. And then at verse 5, we have the last part, the third part, the calculation. This last section here, verses 5 to 13, there are two requests in this section. One request is made by an angel, and one request is made by Daniel. The first request of the angel is in verses 5 and 6, and the answer to that request is in verse 7. The second request is made by Daniel himself in verse 8, and it is answered in verses 9 to 13. So the first request, then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this riverbank and the other on that riverbank. And one said to the men clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, he wanted to know, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Here's a request. How long will it be? And then I heard the men clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and he swore by him who lives forever that it shall be for a time, times, plural, and half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. So here we have the request and the answer. There were more than just one angel involved in this particular vision. Some people say that the man in linen here was Jesus Christ. Others say no, that it was an angel. Most commentators, they agree that the man here is Gabriel. We have the same description as we had of Gabriel in chapter 10, verse 5. One of the angels across the river, the Tigris River, and we were told the name of the river in chapter 10, verse 4, called to the angel standing on the other side, over the river, and the one clothed in linen. And he asked, how long will it be before these wonders are fulfilled? In verse 6. These wonders refer to the events recorded in chapter 11, verses 36 to 45. The prophecy of the willful king. The work of the Antichrist. So how long? Gabriel answered the inquiring angel that those events will be fulfilled in a time, that's a year, times, plural, that's 2 years, and half a time, half a year, in verse 7, that is 3.5 years. Even though this final ruler will reign for 7 years. We know that the Antichrist will be in business for the entire time of the Great Tribulation, which is 7 years. But the first half of the tribulation will be semi-peaceful for Israel. They will still enjoy the benefits of the covenant that this ruler will make with them. He will make a covenant with them. He will promise them to protect them, and their people in Israel will be safe, and we will take care of everything. That was in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. So Israel will be a land of unwalled villages, a land in which the people will be without walls and without gates and bar, Ezekiel said in chapter 38, verse 11. But the Antichrist will be a liar. He will promise peace and protection for Israel for 7 years, but he will break that covenant. Daniel told us in chapter 9, verse 27, he will break in the middle of the 70th week of years, in the middle of the 70, the last 7 years. Then the king of the south and the king of the north, they will invade Israel. We saw last week in chapter 11, verse 40. After destroying these two armies, this Gentile king, the Antichrist, will move into Israel. He will occupy the land. He will set up his political and his religious headquarters right in Jerusalem. He will reign in Jerusalem as king and God, and he will become the greatest persecutor Israel has ever known. That's in Revelation chapter 13, verses 5 to 7. Israel's power will be broken by this ruthless man. And at the end of the Great Tribulation, all these things, the event of chapter 11, verses 40 to 45, will be completed. On the verge of victory, God will intervene, and God will destroy the Antichrist. That's a promise that we have. God will defend and destroy the enemies of the Jews. The second request now, verse 8. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? So here's the request of Daniel. What shall be the end? How is all these things supposed to end? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So Daniel acknowledged that he was able to hear, he heard clearly, but he still did not understand, verse 8. So he asked a question to Gabriel, whom he called my Lord. That's a term of respect, like we would say today, sir. And he asked, what will be the outcome of all this? He wanted to know God's program for Israel beyond the Great Tribulation period. How is that all going to end? Very little information about Israel's condition in the millennial reign following the second coming of Christ had been given to Daniel. He had no information about that. All he knew was that God's eternal kingdom would be established and the saints would possess the kingdom in righteousness and they would dwell and reign with the Lord. More will be given through future prophet. Daniel did not have enough. He did not go into there. But when we get to other prophets like Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, those people will give us more information about after. So they will go beyond what Daniel is saying. So just stay tuned. We will get to them eventually. Next one will be Hosea. So as the angel already stated in verse 4, the words were to be closed up. They were to be sealed until the time of the end. Verse 9, that is the second half of the 70th week, the Great Tribulation, after the second half of the Tribulation. In that period of time, many Jews will turn to the Savior. As a result, they will be spiritually purified, spotless, refined. Verse 9 is a spiritual condition. They're not going to be hosed down and washed and clean. It is a spiritual condition that God can do for you in turning to Him, and He purifies us and refines us. But the wicked will continue in their ways. They will follow and they will worship the Antichrist, the world ruler. What God revealed to Daniel will continue to be obscure to them, but the wise, the righteous, they will understand. That time of wickedness has already started. The wicked things that are being done today are totally incredible. They do not understand anything about the truth. Only the wise in the Lord can understand these things. And it is by the Holy Spirit that we are wise enough to understand. A lot of people open the Bible and they do not understand a thing. It makes absolutely no sense to them reading the Bible. Well, the Bible is not for unbelievers. The book of God is for the people of God. So if you are the people of God and you read the Bible, the Spirit of God will make you understand the Word of God, and it will make sense to you. So the wise, those who are wise enough to call on the Lord and be saved and receive the Spirit of God, they can understand the Word of God. Then the last three verses here, and from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. So the false prophet is going to place an image of the Antichrist in the Holy of Holies, the sanctuary of the temple in Israel, and he will demand that the whole world worship the image of the beast. This is the abomination of desolation, and Jesus talked about that. From that point, there will be only 1,290 days left, or 3.5 years. Before it's all over. Verse 11 here. The last half of the Great Tribulation, times and half a time, as we see in Revelation 12:14, is the 3.5 years. The last 3.5 years. It is also designated as 42 months in Revelation 11:2, or 1,260 days here, and also in Revelation 11, verse 3. How can the variance of 30 days, 1,290, not 1,260, be explained? Now, some people suggest that 30 days will extend beyond the end of the Great Tribulation, allowing for the judgment of Israel and the judgment of other nations. Another possibility is that the 1,290 days will begin 30 days before the middle of the 70th, before the 3.5 years, when the world ruler will set up the abomination that causes desolation that Jesus said in Matthew 24. So the 3.5 years, what I'm saying is very hard to pinpoint the very middle of the Great Tribulation. So there may be a 30 days starting the count early. The 1,290 days could begin with an announcement about the abomination made 30 days before the abomination is introduced. This abomination, as stated earlier, will be the image of the Antichrist, Revelation chapter 13, and will be the symbol of his religious system. They will all receive his mark, and that will be a symbol of him. There is a blessing in verse 12. For those you are able to hold on until 1,335 days, which is 45 days after the 1,290 days of verse 11. What is the difference of 45 days here? We are told twice in Revelation chapter 11 and Revelation chapter 12 that the tribulation will last 1,260 days, or 42 months of 30 days each, or 3.5 years. So the difference is really 75 days. 1,335 minus 1,260 is 75, not 45. We are also told in Matthew chapter 24 that when Jesus returns to the earth, he has an important business to do. We are told that he will gather the nations of the world for judgment. He will separate the sheep from the goats. And it seems like the separation will take 75 days. The blessing is for those who can survive the 7-year great tribulation, the 3.5 year that is not too hard, and the 3.5 year that is very hard, plus the 75 days of judgment. This is a hard way to enter the millennium. They will be allowed to live with Christ on earth for 1,000 years because of all that they've been through. It's a hard way to get in. It's much easier to walk with God now and to just, when you die, you go and to be with the Lord. Daniel did not live to see many of his prophecies being fulfilled. They were all for far away from his days. He did not see hardly any. The angel told him that he would be resurrected in verse 2. He will rise, verse 13, and he will receive his inheritance at the end of the days. When is that? Daniel rose when Jesus descended to Hades with the thief on the cross. Remember? When Daniel died here, 430 years before the Lord Jesus, he died, he went to Hades. He went into Abraham's bosom, the place of the believers, the nicer place of the two, not a place of torment. And he went there for 430 some years until Jesus descended there. Jesus did not descend there alone. He descended with another man, the thief on the cross who had believed in him. And Jesus said, today you'd be with me in paradise. So they descended in too. And Daniel was already there. And Daniel rose with all those captives that were set free. And Jesus brought them all up to heaven. Daniel rose then. Because of his faith in God, Daniel led a life of faithful service to God. And for that faith and his obedience, he will receive a glorious reward at the Bema Seat judgment. Again, he's waiting. That will take place at the rapture of the church. We will go and be there. Daniel will be there. So all who like Daniel trust the Lord will share in the blessings of his millennium kingdom here on earth. So the main lesson is this present age is to end with a time of tribulation such as the world has never known before. Christ will come to save his people. Glorious rewards will be presented to those who have been wise and have instructed others in the way of salvation. Personal application for us is, no matter what, make sure that your name is written in the book of life. This is the most important thing in the world. So what a way to end the book. God assured his servant Daniel that the believers will be delivered and those who die will be resurrected to shine in glory. So no matter what kind of affliction, no matter what kind of tribulation God allows you to experience, just trust him. He has a great plan for you. The end is much better than the beginning. God is in control. He knows what he is doing. What are our responsibilities? Well, we see some here tonight. To seek to win people to Jesus. Verse 3. To leave the hidden things with the Lord. Verses 8 and 9. To grow in holiness. Verse 10. To wait on the Lord and to rest in him. Verses 12 and 13. This is the way Bible prophecy should affect us personally or anybody. It should cause us to win people to Jesus, talk to others about Jesus, leave the hidden thing that we don't see or understand yet, leave that to the Lord, grow in holiness, wait for the Lord, rest in him. Next week, we will start the book of Hosea, so you can read chapter 1, 2, and 3. Shall we pray? Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this book of Daniel, where you sent angels from heaven to this man to make him understand the plan that you have for this world. We know that there is a plan to end all this because it's in the Bible. Heaven and earth will pass away. So what we see here will disappear. But you have a greater plan, and we trust that you are in control. And I pray, Lord, that we will all have a desire to walk with you, to stay close to you in order to rise to be with you when we die. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.